We begin Be'ezer Hashem on the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Aleph, two lines from the bottom, the words Kemat Ozla. We just mentioned the Braisa with a three-way machlokes between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim. And that machlokes was that Rabbi Meir says the Kohen who was separated 7 days before Yom Kippurim gets sprinkled every single day, and the Kohen who is separated 7 days before he burns the Paraduma gets sprinkled every single day. Rabbi Yossi says both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen who's going to burn the Paraduma get sprinkled only day number 3 and day number 7. And Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim had a split. The Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur for Yom Kippur and gets sprinkled day number 3, day number 7. And the Kohen who's going to burn the Parah Aduma because of, as the Gemara said, Maila Ba'alma. It was just an extra added thing that they put on the, for the one who's going to burn the Parah Aduma because of the Tahara, and therefore they put that on. So now the Gemara says, keeping that in mind, the Gemara says as follows, Kemat Ozlo, who are we going like? Hodu Tana Rabbonon. Who is the following Braisa going like? Which opinion?
Like opinion.
Well, we're going to see. The Braisa you're going to say right now.
Well, first, when we learn that the one who burned the Paraduma needs sprinkle also 7 days.
Mentioned
any place in the Torah?
Well, we learned that from Lechaper Lasis. Yeah. We had to do it by Aaron HaKohen by the Meluim, and we need to do it two other times.
The only problem was the first Paraduma, they didn't have any ashes before. Unless,
to do it, yeah.
Unless Moshe Rabbeinu shechted that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless Moshe Rabbeinu shechted that.
Moshe was already.
Was what?
So he was done.
Okay, let's see. So the Gemara says, "Kemana azal derabanan." Who does this brisa go like? The brisa says as follows: "Ein ben koyin aserav esapar lekoyin gadol b'yamakipurim." There is no difference between the Kohen Gadol who is going to burn the Parah Aduma and the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippurim. They both separate for 7 days. That's similar. Except the two differences are as follows. Except Shezeh Prisha Se LeKedusha. The Kohen Gadol, his separation is for purposes of holiness. His purpose is of to become in a state of Kedusha. That his mind should be in a state to be able to enter into Kedusha. Let's take a look at this Rashi, the top Rashi, Chesem Abayis. Shezeh Rashi L'Kedusha, Likoneis L'machen Eshchina. He's really going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but that's the equivalent of the Machen Eshchina, which Moshe Rabbeinu entered in by 6 plus 1 to 7. That's where we learned, one of the places we learned Prisha from Sinai. And before he could enter into Machen Eshchina, the holiest of places, he had to separate for 7 days. So Rashi says, V'lo yehei libay zocha olav. His mind should not be too haughty, and also he shouldn't be too frivolous, he shouldn't be in such a light-headed mood, because there's a certain amount of fear which is instilled upon a person. It's interesting, you take from this Rashi, when a person spends too much time, sometimes we spend all our time with other people, and because of that we're not able to be serious enough. Rashi is saying the way a person gets serious is spend some time by yourself. Nowadays it's known that people are afraid of themselves. They're afraid to spend time with themselves. Even when they're walking by themselves, they're talking to someone on the phone. They're listening to somebody. Spending time by ourselves, you know, it's we don't like being too serious. And that's Rashi, that's how you get serious. Contemplate. Be in solitude for a little bit. If you remember Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the Maseres HaShas tells us to go look at this Rashi. Rashi says this was the purpose, even Moshe Rabbeinu, if someone has grace Moshe Rabbeinu, also for him to get into the proper frame of mind of seriousness to be able to enter into the Machan Eshchina, needed this. Rashi on Dalet Amud Beis says, the reason why he separated for all these days was La'ayim Alav, to instill seriousness and fear into him. And Rashi says the same idea over there. La'havdila b'mnei Adam, to separate himself from people. Shatachal Lav'ema b'yaseh Lavadoi, because because when he's alone, Yavin v'yasim levavai likanis b'machne shchina be'ema. If a person is alone, he's able to contemplate, he's able to think straight, and then go in. When we're always interacting with people, we lose that out on that. So that's the purpose of the Kohen Gadol going into the Machane Shekhinah Kodesh HaKadoshim, and for that reason needs separation, for Kedusha purposes. Secondly, V'ochav HaKohanim Noigim Boi. There's no problem with other Kohanim touching, coming in contact with the Kohen Gadol, because they're not worried about him becoming Tamei. We're not so concerned about that. Not that if we know someone's Tamei, can touch him, but we're not overly cautious about that. However, the Kohen is going to burn the Parah Aduma. The purpose of his separation is for what? Just for Tara purposes. And Rashi explains, because since we were Mekel in a different place, where we actually made him Tamei, and then he went to the Mikveh that day, became a Tvul Yom, to go against the reasoning or the opinion of the tzedukim that they said it can't be someone who just became tummy that day and goes to the mikveh that night. That's no good. Tul yom can't be good. And we specifically make sure the person is tummy, this guy, in order to show that it could be a tul yom. But since we are sort of a little bit more lenient concerning his tara, we put in some extra chumris. We are strict in other areas, and that is that the other Kohanim may not come in contact with him. So two differences between the Kohen Gadol being separated and the Kohen who's burning Parah Aduma. One is going for Kedusha purposes, the other for Tara. One, the Kohanim can touch him, the other one, the Kohanim cannot touch him. So the Gemara says, this could only be Keman, Iki Remeir, it could only be Remeir who holds that in terms of sprinkling, they are identical all 7 days each one. Or Rabbi Yossi, who says that both the Kohen Gadol, the only day number three, day number seven. But the Iker Rabbi Chanina B'Skana Koyanim. But if you want to say it's the opinion of Chanina B'Skana Koyanim, ha ikanami ha. There is also this. What's this? There's another difference between them. What's the difference between them? Not only Kedusha, not only touching for the Kohanim, but there's a third difference between them. What's the third difference?
The sprinkled.
Rabbi Chanina B'Skana holds that the Kohen Gadol is only sprinkled three and seven. But the Kohen is going to Paraduma sprinkle how many days? All 7 days. So that will be another difference. If you tell me there's only two differences, that can't be. Now, if the Gemara is saying you're going to be so meticulous exactly how many differences there are and every difference you have to mention, says Tosfos, 1 minute, I have another difference. I have another difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen who's going to Parah Aduma. What's that? Says Tosfos, where do they go for those 7 days?
One stays in the Beit HaMikdash,
he goes to the Lishkas Parhedrin, like we learned in the first Mishnah in the Masechta. He goes in that Lishka. And the other one goes on some Lishka in the Bira. Oh, Shaila, what that meant, but whether he's on the Arabayis or not, but he's... No, he has to go to a special Lishka, Panei Bira. Yeah, but you see, they're not in the same place. So why Taisa says that, that itself is a difference? So Tosfos has two answers. The first answer is that we're only talking about things, not where they go, but things that are of a milsa de chashivusa. That what added thing was put on the Kohen Gadol that he's separating for Kedusha. And what added thing is put on the Kohen who's going to burn the Parah Aduma that no one could come in contact with him. Okay, so those are the things that one has an advantage, one has a milo of a chashivas over the other one. But the fact they're in different places, that we didn't list. Or, Taisa says, you could say another possible teretz. That actually, that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. So, Zeprishos and the Kedusha means this one is separated into a place of Kedusha. The Kohen Gadol goes to where? To the Lishkas HaParedrin, which is in the Beis Hamidish, which is of Kedusha. And for the Kohen who's going to burn the Parah Aduma, goes to some place, just maybe on the Arabayis, but not of a place of Kedusha. The only problem with that Teretz, says Tosfos, is We mentioned this earlier from Rashi, but Tosfos asked the question over here. If you're telling me that this Lishkas Parhedrin with the Kohen Gadol goes for 7 days is in a Makom Kedusha, means it's like the Azara, so then how is the Kohen Gadol allowed to sit or sleep any of those 7 days? The halacha is, Ein yeshiva ba'azara elul malchez beis David b'lvad. No one, even the Kohen Gadol, is allowed to sit in the Azara. So if you tell me this is a place of Kedusha, how could it be the Azara? How could it be that he goes there for 7 days? He obviously has to sit down.
This specific place was designated for Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
So he's allowed to live there.
But is it a Makom Kadosh?
Yeah, so he allowed. They put this room for him special to be separate from for the big Kedusha.
I understand, but if the room is in the place of Kedusha, he's not allowed to sit down there.
Not allowed to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Kohen Gadol do every night after the war? He go home to sleep?
No, he would presume he would sleep over there.
Not on the 7 days.
Oh, on a regular day? Yeah, go home, yeah.
He can go home, sleep in home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tosfos says, Tosfos says it was built on a place that had Kedusha to it, and that's why it's considered that he separated to a Makom Kadosh. However, the opening was to the other side. The opening was to a place of Chol, a non-Kedusha source, and therefore, since it's opening to a place of Chol, non-Kedusha source, he was allowed to sit down in that room or sleep in that room. That's what Tosfos takes care of that issue. He brings another pshat which he doesn't like. That's that Tosfos. We now continue along the following. Maskev l'Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chanina has a kasha. Bishleim Rishon. I understand why the first day of the seven you need sprinkling on, like Rameyer says, Shemesh Lishi. Maybe this is actually the third day of when he became Tamei. Maybe the Kohen Gadol became Tamei 3 days ago. Right, and on the first day of the pre-show, this is already the third day began. So sprinkle, maybe today is day number three. Shani, the second day, also sprinkle on him. Why? Shema Shlishi. Okay, Rishon Shema Shlishi, Shani Shema Shlishi. Maybe the second day is actually the third day of his separation for Tuma. And Shlishi, also Shema Shlishi, meaning maybe right before they separated and became Tamei, so when they separated, that's day number one, day number two, day number three, so the third day you need it. Now we go to the other end. Chamishi, you know why you need to spring on the fifth day? Shemeshvi. Maybe he became Tamei before he came to the Beis HaMikdash, and you had day number three, four, and day number five is day number seven. And Shishi also Shemeshvi. And Shvi also Shemeshvi. Maybe that's the exact day. However, the Gemara says, El Revi, the fourth day, Lomali Azal Klal. Why do I need to spring on the fourth day? Loi Bishlishi Ikilasvuke. It can't be the third day because he only was separated 4 days ago. And so it's not possible that he became Tamei during the wars one of those days. We would have known about it. And if he became separated, if he became Tummy one of those 7 days, then he can't be the Kohen Gadol. Right? Because you won't be able to get him ready in time. Right? So it can't be day number one, two, and three, obviously, did not become Tummy. So day number four cannot be the day number three. Right? So why is bringing him at day number four? And it also cannot be V'loy B'Shvi Hikilosvuke. And it can't be also day number
seven.
Why can it be day number seven?
The same day he got Tamei, so you sprinkle him to make him Tahor.
If it would be day number seven, that means how many days ago did he become Tamei? 7 days earlier, right? That means you never sprinkled on him on day number three. So you're not going to have it anyway. The truth of the matter is, the Kohen Gadol really is not Tamei. Right? As an added mila, as an added source of tahara, of purity, we sprinkle the mechatas on him. But it has to make some sense. If you're not going to have day number three and seven at least, so Rameo says you do it every day in order to hit at least day three and day seven. Right? That's why we do it every day. But if it's If day number seven is, if day number four is really day number seven, then you never had day number three. So there's no purpose knowing that. So day number four, both from before and afterwards, doesn't pay to do it.
So skip number four.
So the Gemara says, indeed, you're right. Ula taimeich, according to you, hazah kol shiva miyika. When we say you're going to sprinkle him all 7 days, is that really all 7 days? V'kaimlon da hazah shvus, sprinkling on someone on Shabbos would be an Issa d'Rabbanon. What's the Issa d'Rabbanon? The Gemara in Psachim says, the reason is because the Rabbanon said we don't allow a person to be sprinkled on Shabbos lest he go carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim the Mechatos.
But this Mechatos was done.
That's what the Gemara says. Rashi over there in Psachim in a different place adds a different reason. He says it's kitikune gavra. Because if you have a person who's tamei and you sprinkle on him, it's as if you are making him tare. It's like you're fixing a person. Right? The Gemara Bey has a whole shaila. If a person is allowed to, is tamei allowed to go to the mikveh on Shabbos? Is a need allowed to go to a mikveh on Shabbos? Not because it looks like she is fixing herself because she was in a state of tumah, now she's in a state of tahara. But the Gemara says why it doesn't look like it, because some people bathe anyway in a body of water. That's very good in the summertime. What about in the wintertime? Yeah, if they're dirty, they were going to. So the Gemara explains why over there it's okay. But that's why for a keli, right? It's a machlokes. We paskin, you should not do that on Shabbos. Tvilas kelim, a new keli that has to be immersed in a mikveh. You don't do it on Shabbos. Why? It's like misakin kli. It's like you're fixing something. You know, literally fixing something, but it resembles fixing something. That's why you don't do that on Shabbos. What do you rather do? You give it to a guy as a matana, and then you borrow it from him to use, because a guy's keli doesn't have to be immersed in a mikveh before its usage. Right? That's why when you go to a non-Jewish place, you go to a hotel, you're not table the glasses over there, right? Because the Tevilas Kelim is only when it comes to the Rishus of a Jew. So therefore the Gemara says, Shabbos you wouldn't be able to do Azor anyway. Why? Because Azor is a Shvus and it's a Drabonon. Veinu Deiches HaShabbos, you cannot push off Shabbos. Elamayis L'chamem, what are you going to say? That what? Shiva L'barmi Shabbos. You mean you spring them all 7 days except for Shabbos? Hachinami shiva labar mervi. We said seven, it doesn't mean literally all seven. Seven except for Shabbos, seven except for the fourth day. But basically, other than that, day 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7. So that's most of the days. Except for the day which is Shabbos, which you wouldn't do.
So what's happening to the third day fell on Shabbos? Or the 7 days fell on Shabbos, so you don't do...
So you won't do four and you won't do seven. So Rashi, that's what Rashi says.
And if you become tamei on the seventh day, you don't spring the moment?
It's too late anyway. Once he becomes tamei, that's it. He can't be acceptable to...
But we say if you become tamei on the first day, we spring them on him...
It's too late. You need day number three, day number seven. You don't have 7 days over there.
So if you become tamei on the 7 days, puzzle?
Puzzle. Get the second Kohen Gadol who's been waiting on deck.
You didn't spring them on him. On the second, on the standby card.
So we said that's only a Maila Ba'alma. You don't have to, he's not really tummy. If he becomes tummy, then you have a problem. Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, it's just a 7 day period, not 7 days, it's a 7 day period.
Yeah. Mm. Just a general question.
That's how we're going to say it.
General question. Mm. When the coin sprinkled the ashes of the Paraduma, he's doing that on Bet HaMikdash or is doing that outside of Bet HaMikdash?
Outside. Someone is tamei, he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash.
No. So it's meaning if somebody lives in north of Israel, they take the asher to north of Israel and sprinkle
on them. Oh, no. They come to where the Kohen is, but they can't.
That's the city of Shiva on the third, someplace in the north of Israel. So they need sprinkle on the third day and the seventh day. So they come to Yerushalayim to be sprinkled, or the Kohen go to them home and sprinkle them.
Mm. We don't do that.
Huh? Yeah, right. Did they do a house call to Kohen Gadol? I'm not sure. Says the Gemara Amar Rava, Hilkoch, therefore, Kohen Gadol be a Maki Purim. The Kohen Gadol who goes 7 days before Yom Kippur and gets sprinkled these days, Deloy Bidi Don Tal Yomilsa. It's not dependent on him. In other words, the Kohen Gadol, there's no choice in picking which day should the 7 days before Yom Kippurim starts, right? It depends on when they sent the new moon. Whenever Rosh Chodesh was, in this case, whenever Rosh Hashanah was, right? So we know exactly when 7 days before Yom Kippurim is. When is that? The third day of Tishrei. So you have no choice. On the third day of Tishrei, which we call Tzem Gedalia, that's when he has to start separating. And whenever the third day of Tishrei will fall out, you have to separate him. And if that's the case, Rashi says, you may miss then 2 days. You may, the fourth day may come up, and then Shabbos may come up on a different day than the fourth day. So you miss out Shabbos on the fourth day. However, we could say when, there's no specific day when he has to burn the Parah Adumah. So we'll say, listen, let's set it up. That what?
Wednesday.
You separate him on a Wednesday. Why? So then you have Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is the 3 days. Shabbos is the fourth day. That fourth day you won't sprinkle, both because of the reason of Shabbos and the reason of the fourth day. So at least, yeah, you killed two birds with one stone, and as you make sure to minimize what you have to see. This is an interesting Gemara to remember when you have a choice to try to minimize. In this case, not to lose out. Minimize the days, not to lose out on some of the sprinkling. It could have ramifications of halachas as well. Now we start a new Gemara. We go back to where the Mishnah said. The Mishnah on the base on the Malav said, Shivas Yomim Kohen Yom HaKippurim Afrishin Kohen Gadol Mibesoi Lelishkas Parhedrin. He goes to a chamber which is called the Lishkas Parhedrin. That's a very interesting name. And the Gemara is going to discuss that now. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. The Lishkas Parhedrin, Haisa? Was it actually called Lishkas Parhedrin? V'aloi Lishkas Balviti, Haisa? Now, the truth of the matter is, as the Rishonim say here, both of these are Babylonian names. So we're talking about which Beis Hamikdash? The second Beis Hamikdash. In other words, in the first Beis Hamikdash, could be it was called something else. But our Gemara, the Mishnah, which was written after the second Beis Hamikdash, and deals with most of the things that took place in the second Beis Hamikdash, and that's what we're talking about, what this chamber was called, this Lishka was called. If you remember, back in that Beis Amar Aleph, Rashi said, one reason we separate the Kohen Gadol is to avoid any Tumah. Right? Oh, actually, another reason why we set another Kohen is in case he becomes Tomei, right? He may become Tomei by a Psul Keri. The Kohen Gadol may become a Bal Keri and be possible to do the Avodah. So the Yaivitz asked, what second? One of the Nisim that happened in the Beis Hamikdash was Leira Keri. He never saw Keri, the Kohen Gadol. So what are you worried about? So one of the answers were that when was that when those Nisim took place? First Beis Hamikdash, not the second Beis Hamikdash. Good. So here we're saying that they used Babylonian names to call this chamber, which was the common tongue of the people from Babel, and who came up to Beis Hamikdash, to the Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. So Lishkas Balviti Oisa was really called the Lishkas Balviti. Balviti, Rashi says, it was the Lishka of the officers. Says the Gemara, Ela Betchila Hayokairan Oisa Lishkas Balviti. Indeed, that's where they called it at first. However, the Chachamim changed the name. Why? Umitech Shanaisin Alav Mama in Likahuna, since it came a certain point in time, we'll see when that turning point was, where they were not such righteous Kohanim who paid their way to become Kohanim Gedolim. They paid their way to get that position. So what happened was, Umachlif and Oisa Kol Shnei Masar Chodesh, basically every 12 months, these non-righteous people ended up dying, and therefore they would have to institute another Kohen Gadol. And they would be switching them every 12 months, Kiparhedrin Halalu, like these Parhedrin. Parhedrin are officers of the king, who also are switched on a regular basis. The king says, I want somebody new now, I want a new person, fire the old one, kill the old one, bring in a new appointed person for the king. Now Rashi says a very interesting thing. Rashi says, first of all, when was this turning point where these Kohanim Gedolim started paying their way and we had non-righteous Kohanim Gedolim? And we know it certainly was not in the first Beis HaMikdash. They were all righteous, as the Gemara will see in the Daftes and Aleph tells us. The second Beis HaMikdash started at what point? So Rashi says that throughout the days of Shimon HaTzadik, who was a Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara in the end of Menachos teaches us, after he was Mayrich Yomim, he lived for a long time, after that point, the Kohanim started paying their way. Now, some have a problem with this because it wasn't really Shimon HaTzadik. We know certain Kohanim who were Kohanim Gedolim after him, who were still righteous people. So maybe Rashi means to round it off around that time of Shimon HaTzadik. Who were they paying? So the Rishonim point out they paid the king, the Jewish king at the time. For example, the Gemara in Kedushin tells about Yanai HaMelech, that he used his power and his clout to push in certain Kohanim Gedolim, and the Chacham had no other choice. It would be they would be put in prison, they would be killed, so they had to listen. Yanai they didn't have the fondest respect for the Chachamim. So they paid the king, and they then got in to be Kohen Gadol.
Why point to that?
Why?
They're going to die.
Kavod.
You would think, for the kavod. Could you imagine? Imagine the Gemara is going to tell us how many were there. There were 300 Kohanim Gedolim in a period of 420 years.
Every year.
The Gemara here says, we just learned, basically every 12 months was a new Kohen Gadol. Right? The Gemara doesn't say how they died. Rashi says, they would die, right? So we know they would die. They would die on Yom Kippurim. Yeah. How do we know that?
They put the rope on.
Everybody heard this thing. They put a rope around the Kohen Gadol before he went in, because just in case he doesn't make it out alive. Meaning, in case he dies, we can't go into the Kodesh Kodashim. So pull him out. Does anybody know the source for that thing? Where is the source that they would tie a rope around the Kohen Gadol before he went into the Kodesh HaKadosh?
Not of an Avihu.
It says they tied a rope around them?
They pulled them out.
Who says that? The Chumash? Who says that?
It's a Medrash, right?
A Medrash? Maybe you'll search for it? I challenge anybody here. Find the source. And it's interesting. Everybody heard about this. Yeah?
But nobody knows the source.
Find the source. Okay? I challenge everyone. Find the source where it says they put a rope. Our Gemara doesn't say it. Yeah? I'll give you a hint. You're not going to find any Gemara that says it. There's a reliable source. But I'm not... It's not in the Chumash, no. There's a reliable source, but it's not in Gemara. In non-Talmud Bavli, non-Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay. You'll find it. Anyway, but it does say that they died every year, and therefore they would appoint the new Kohen Gadol. But Rashi says an interesting thing. What they would do is, when the new Kohen Gadol would come into office, presumably right after Yom HaKippurim, he would decorate the Lishkas Parhedrin, that chamber which he would stay. How long would they be there already? Just 7 days before Yom HaKippurim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? They would have a whole makeover. Right? They would decorate it. Rashi says here, they would not live out the year. They would destroy this chamber. They would make even a nicer one. The Rabbi Yashiv points out, why did Rashi say they make a nicer one? symbol you say is because they say, ah, I don't like this color, I don't like these carpets, you know, Lahavda, like
the one
in the changes also.
Washington.
In Washington, every 4 years. Sometimes we want every 12 months. And and they also do a whole makeover of the Oval Office, right? So here also though, but Rabbi Asher points out more than that. It's usher to destroy part of the Beis HaMikdash. It's usher to destroy even a Beis HaKnesses, except if you're going to rebuild a nicer one. You're allowed to destroy the current Beis HaKnesses if you're going to rebuild a nicer one. So he says, that's why maybe Rashi says they would build a new one. And then he says, Shetei Keruya Al Shemai. They would name it a new name, put up a new plaque. This is the new Kohen Gadol, right? And you say, one after the other, after you would think, right? By the 189th, they would have gotten the point, yeah?
They're getting dragged out by a rope.
Can you imagine? And didn't they think, yeah? And I'll ask you, what about the 250 men that followed Kairach? Right? They knew not everybody, only one is going to make it, right? I'm going to be that one. Mm-hmm. I'll be that. This Kohen Gadol said, I'm different than them. Right? Lahavdil, every politician says that, and these, I don't know, so Lahavdil, these are Risham, Rashi calls them. They also thought we'd be different. So, Mamela, since they used to switch it every 12 months, and they used to do a makeover to the room, they called it Parhedrin. Some say Par is in Lashon of Pruta. Parhedrin, they chased after money, they chased after the power, and they paid their way to get into this Lishka.
Like a car slaughtering.
Now, we have to do one more Gemara, and then we'll save the Gemara between the difference between the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash for next week, Mir Sashem. Well, let's see this last Gemara over here. Okay? Tanan Hossam. This really has nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol, nothing to do with Yuma, but rather, since it's going to talk about the Lashon of Parhedrin, so the Gemara inserts this over here. A little hakdama would be when you have a field, there's many things you have to separate and tithe. Namely, what are they? What's the first thing you have to take of your field? Truma. First thing is truma. It's called truma gedayla. Truma gedayla goes to the
kain.
You have to take off 2% of the field. That's midrabanan. Not only you do have truma gedayla. What else you have to take off? Maaser rishon. What's that? That's a tenth. You give that to the levy. Then the levy takes off a tenth of that. Trumas maaser gives to the kain. Then you have to take off also maaser sheni. You do that in the first, second year, fourth, fifth year. And Maiserani is the third and sixth year. And the seventh year, Shemitah, you don't give any of the Maiseris. Right. So that's a give off. Now, there were people who are not careful about giving off Maiser. They're called Amei Haaretz. They're called Amei Haaretz in terms of they don't keep the laws of Maiser properly. And if you buy something from them, do you have to take off Maiser again or not? Can you eat in their house? What if you're there at a time when you can't really take off Maiser? So, we'll see. The Gemara is going to say that certain things you can trust they did, other things not. Tanan Hasan, we learned in a Mishneh in Masechtas Demai. Demai is food that is gotten from an Am Haaretz, from the Lashon of Do Mai. This, what's the halacha with it? We're not sure. Is it Maiser? Is it not? Chumah? Not. Hanachtoimim, those who are bakers who used to buy wholesale to sell to the community. The Chachamim did not obligate them. Lahafrish ela trumas meiser v'chala. All they had to take off was trumas meiser, which the Levi takes off, and chala that they have to take off. Now, not Maiser Rishon, not Maiser Sheni, not Maiser Oni. Why not? Says the Gemara Bishlema Truma Gedoyla. I understand why they didn't have to go to Truma Gedoyla, because that even the Amei Oretz took off. Loi, why the Sanyo? Because we're not in a Braisa. Lefisha Sholach Bechol Gvule Yisrael. Yoichanen Kohen Gadol. He was one of the Kohanim Gedoylam who were part of the righteous Kohanim Gedoylam. Okay, and that's why he came after Shimon HaTzadik. Why? Because Shimon HaTzadik lived, to put it in a historical perspective, approximately 150 years before the story of
destruction
of Hanukkah. Yeah. But we know after them, after him, there were still Kohanim Gedolim who were righteous. One of them was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There's a debate who this Yochanan Kohen Gadol was. Was he the father of Matisyo? Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we say. Maybe he was the son.
Grandson.
Some even say, oh, he's over there? Yeah?
Not over here.
Oh, not here.
Over here.
Oh, really? Interesting. Reb Chaim Knievsky brings it in Derech Emunah. Okay. And some say he was even a grandson of Matisyo Kohen Gadol. Okay, but they were Kohanim Gedolim. So you see, there were other Kohanim Gedolim after the Shem Tzadik, we pointed out. But he sent, at one point, he did a survey, and he sent out messengers to Bechol Gvul Yisrael, to all places, V'rah, and he saw Sheim Marfishin Ela Truma Gedola Bilvad. The only thing that was separating the Amayores was Truma Gedola. And that Rashi says, because that if you would eat it, there would be a tremendous Isra Chai Misa, therefore that they would not start up with Truma Gedola they gave. However, more than that, they didn't. So, Maisa Rishon, or Maisa Rani, why don't you have to give? So, the Gemara says, that Maisa Rishon, Maisa Rani, Nami, I understand why you don't have to give. Hamaitzi Mechaveri, Olavaraya. Because who do I have to give Maisa Rishon to? To a Levi. Does a Levi know for sure at this time? Could you prove that you're actual Levi? Could you trace yourself back all the way? If you could prove to me that you're a Levi, I'll give you the Maisa
Rishon.
Maisa Rani. Nami loy, why? Hamitzi mechaveirei, olavaraya.
Prove his ani?
No. The ani has to prove that this food that I have from Nama Oretz was not taken off Meiser. The ani will never be able to prove that. So he says, I'm not obligated to do this. So the Levi, prove that you're a Levi. And you could say the same to the Levi that proved that there wasn't take off Meiser yet. And Meiser, Ella Meiser Sheni, by the way, there's a whole discussion in the Achronim, the Chassam Sofer, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And nowadays, when a person has a pidyon haben, he has to redeem his son from the Kayin, he gives the 5 sloim to the Kayin. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, based on this idea, how does the Kayin know for sure he's a Kayin?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's very hard to trace them back for sure. So really, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, is that you give the chamish shloim to the Kohen, and then what should the Kohen do?
He
has to give it back, so it shouldn't be a ganif. Some Sefer says, no, that's not the meaning. We rely that those who are kehanim are kehanim. But also, it's not so simple that...
No, not so simple.
Some maybe he'll give the coins, but he wants cash instead. Says the Gemara, Ela Maisa Shein, let's finish now. Maisa Shein, Nifrishu, V'nasku, V'nachlinu, B'Yushalayim. Why do these bakers don't have to, why do they not have to separate Maisa Sheini, bring it up to Yushalayim, and eat it over there in Yushalayim, like you do a Maisa Sheini? Why are they off the hook? Amarula, because mitoich shepar hedrin. This is why this whole Gemara is brought in here. This Mishnah, mitoich shepar hedrin alalu chayv tenai se kol yud beis chaydesh. Since the king would have a new appointed person, and they would slap on new taxes and new monetary obligations to the bakers, kol yud beis chaydesh. Every 12 months, the baker would be slapped with a new tax. Vaimimland, they would tell them, Mikhrubazal, we want you to slash your prices, we want to be able to, you can't make as much money. So Loyatrichnu Rabbanon, the Rabbanon said, you know what, for the Nachtaimim, there's a period of time, they say, you know what, the dough that you buy from an Ame Oretz, since it's a Safek, we could rely that Rav Ame Oretz do give of Meiser. For that, for you Nachtaimim, it's going to be a big loss for you. You don't have to take off Meiser Sheni from what you get from the Ame Oretz, and only individuals in their house have to do that. Says the Gemara, my parhedrin. What is its word, parhedrin? Parsi. The bottom Rashi on the page, Pekidei HaMelech. These are officers from the king. So the officers of the king also, they'd be rotating, and new ones would come in and make up new rules, so we had to be more lenient. We'll hold it over here, halfway or a little bit way down to Tess Ahmed Aleph.